Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the premier source for all things sport and working dog related. You are now listening to the hottest canine show on the web. This is a Varsity Pet presentation of the Canine Sports Connection, where sports have gone to the dogs. And now your host, Steve Mize.
All right, folks, that's right. My name is Steve, and it is the Canine Sports Connection, where sports have gone to the dogs. Guys, spring has sprung here in the South. It has been beautiful. It is too much fun outside. Had the chance to take a dog and do a little fun jumping at the lake today. Been doing some frisbee. It's just awesome. I love spring in Georgia because then we can get out and have some dog fun. All right, so we are going to talk a lot about dog fun tonight. We're going to talk about one of the most exciting dogs. I love watching this team jump. Since they were both puppies, since they both were new to the dog world. So we're going to be talking with Miss Brianna Knox and her super dog. His name is Knox, or Brianna Minshew and her dog Knox. I always get the names mixed up. Really don't care about people's names, just the dogs. All right, folks, so we're going to get rolling here. Got some big shows coming up for you in the next few weeks. Back by popular demand, next week we're going to have a specialty show. This is kind of a branch off of my Back to the Basics series. Next week on the show, you guys asked for it. You guys got it. We are bringing back Tom Dropic. That's right. The man, the myth, the legend in his own mind. He is back on the show. We are talking next week. We're going to talk a little bit about his dogs. But if you compete in Doc Dogs, and you do speed retrieve, we have got the man that is like the reigning world champ for many years, world records. We are talking speed retrieve next week. So whether you've been thinking about competing speed retrieve or you already compete speed retrieve, we are going to talk about training. We are going to talk about fitness. We are going to talk about on-the-dock strategies, everything. So next week is our speed retrieve show. I'm telling y'all, you want to make sure you check it out. If you like doing speed retrieve and Doc Dogs, this is the show to listen to. So next week, it is Tom Dropic going to be with us. Then, moving into May, on May 6th, I don't even know what we're going to talk about, but Coach Dan's back on the show. We're going to have Coach Dan back on the show with us on May 6th. We may have somebody else or not. I don't know. We'll figure it all out as we go along. Y'all know I shoot from the hip on 90% of this stuff, so... All right, so we are going to get started with our show tonight. Can't wait. Get to talk to Brianna, talk about her wonderful boy, Knox, little brother, Roy, some of the dogs she's got. And, you know, find out. They just went to the Purina Incredible Dog Challenge Eastern Regionals and won. I want to know all about the event. We're going to see if we can get some behind-the-scenes stuff. What it's like, in my opinion, to be on the biggest stage in doc jumping. That's just my opinion. That's the biggest stage. All right, so we're going to get things set to go. We're going to tell a bit about Drool Fuel. Make sure you're using it. Keep those dogs powered by Drool Fuel.
Hi, folks. This is Steve from right here at the Canine Sports Connection. And if you're looking to give your dog a competitive edge in any of the canine athletic events that you compete in, then I've got a little secret that I need to share with you. It's called Drool Fuel, and it's made by the good folks at Varsity Pets. And it is the world's most advanced canine sports drink. If you're ready to take your dog to the next level, if you're sick of placing in the top 4 or 5, and you're ready to start winning your division outright, then I'm telling you, you need to get your dog powered by Drool Fuel. Drool Fuel was created by an ultramarathoner, an Ironman triathlete, using the same principles that propel human athletes to success in the world's toughest athletic competitions. Its patent-pending formula optimizes muscular recovery. It slows lactic acid buildup, fights dehydration, builds lean muscle, and just gives dogs more pop. And the delicious beef flavor also encourages the dogs to drink before they're even thirsty. So it's a great way to help them prehydrate before long, tough events and hot summer conditions. So does it work? In a word, absolutely. Since I started using Drool Fuel with my dogs, Team Southern Charm, I have seen tremendous improvement. In just a little over a year, Both my dogs have gone to world championships and dot dogs, competed in qualifiers for world championships in Frisbee, and overall just have more energy and athleticism, and I'm able to get so much more out of them during our workouts, which makes our competition so much more fun because they are giving me 110% every time. And I'm not the only one. This year at the 2013 Dock Dogs World Championships, the entire team Drill Fuel brought home 5 different World Championship titles, several top 6 finalists, and even a few new world records. So if you want to learn more about the real published scientific research that proves why Drill Fuel really does work, then visit www.varsitypetsonline.com and download the free Drill Fuel research white paper. Or you can go to the Canine Sports Connection archives and download the interview I did with Varsity Pet CEO Dan Schulhoff, the guy who invented Drill Fuel. Trust me, this stuff is not a gimmick. There's real proven science behind it. It really does work. Oh, and when you go to get some Drill Fuel for your dog, be sure to use the code STEVE, that's STEVE, at checkout, and it'll save you 10% off your purchase price. That's my little gift to you and your dog. So go get your first box of Drill Fuel. Start maximizing your dog's genetic potential today. Just visit www.varsitypetsonline.com, and I promise you, you won't be disappointed. Powered by Drill Fuel.
All right, guys, I'm excited about this show we got tonight. Tonight we are talking to what I would consider a quiet champion. They don't go to a whole bunch of events, but when you're as good as they are, you really don't have to. Got to meet them a few years ago when they were just getting started in sport and was like, oh my gosh, you don't even realize how good this dog is. So it is with great pleasure that I welcome Brianna Minshew to the Canine Sports Connection. Brianna, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us about the dogs. If I'm right, you kind of just got started when I met you a few years ago.
Yeah, our first competition was at the Canine Ranch, and then we really met at a Stone Mountain event.
Yep.
And that was my first time out with all the big jumpers.
Well, nobody knew who you were. Here's this little quiet college girl with this, you know. And we'll talk a little bit more about Knox, but, you know, he's a mix. So, you know, he doesn't really stand out as any, you know, he's not a Mal, he's not a straight Aussie, he's not a Lab. So, you know, he looks a little different. And you just, like, blew everybody away. I mean, what was his biggest jump that time at Stone Mountain?
26.5.
Yeah, we were all just floored, yeah. So tell us a little about how you got into dog sports and what you're doing now.
Well, I mean, I started out with working for Cindy at the Georgia Dog Gym. And about 2 weeks after she hired me, I saw that she had Knox available from her litter, and I had to have him. And then it went from there. She got me into agility, disc, dock diving, any and everything I can do with my dog.
Well, and so you've been doing all of that for about how long?
Probably about 2-3 years. We really
cool.
Started when Knox was a year old.
Now, what kind of dog is Knox?
He's a border collie. He's
but,
out
what
of
I say,
Riff and Dune's litter that
right.
Cindy had.
And he's not the standard-looking little monochrome border collie.
No, he's not a monochrome, so he doesn't fit in with that category.
And he's a little bigger
than some.
But he
doesn't look like a border collie. Yeah, he's very large. He stands about 22 inches.
No, definitely, you know, he stands there, you see him, and you're like, what kind of dog is that? That's a flying dog to me. You'll see in a minute. So you work for Cindy. I know you're going to school. What are you actually going to school for?
I'm going to school to be a medical assistant. I'll be done in a year.
Be done in a year. Wrapping it up. So you have more than Knox. Tell us about your other little pup.
I have Roy. He's 2. And then he does the dock diving. He's not as far as Knox or accomplishes Knox. He just likes to swim. And then he does Frisbee. He's really into the tricks. And then I have Pistol, who is my little rescue pup.
Is Pistol starting to take off for any sports?
He really likes agility. He's not too fond of the disc, and he's really not fond of the water, which I'm not too thrilled about, but hopefully we can get him to do it, and he can be a long jumper.
All right, so you're like everybody else. You know, what made you kind of just, you know, hey, I want to try this dog thing?
Well, Cindy really got me into it. I didn't know anything about any dog sports when I first started working for her. I didn't know what agility was. I didn't know what, I mean, I knew what Frisbee was, but I didn't know, like, to the extent that it goes. And then I had no clue about dock diving. And she had told me about it, and we went down and we practiced, and Knox was terrified of the water. And then the next day we went down there, and he was jumping off the stairs, and then he jumped off the dock, and it was just an addiction from that point on.
So at what point did you realize, hey, this dog's pretty good at this?
About a week after we first started, he jumped off the dock and landed in between the 20 and 25-foot range. And that's when I knew that we had to get out and we had to go to competitions and we had to do this.
That's just, and I mean, seeing him, you know, everybody that works so hard, and he's such a natural. All right, so what we're going to do, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about some of the training that you do with him. You know, if he's a multi-sport dog, you know, how you've got to, you know, the conditioning and the training are different for each sport. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk more with Brianna, find out more about this dog, Knox. We haven't even got all the stuff that this dog has done yet. But we're going to go in right now and talk about our Rescue of the Week. Our Rescue of the Week this week is out of the Helping Shepherds of Every Color Rescue out of Montgomery, Alabama. She is a beautiful Belgian Malinois. Her name is Charm, and she lives up to her name because she will charm you and win your heart in about 5 seconds flat. She's a petite girl who was abandoned by her owner with a litter of pups. Charm is loving and loyal and bonds quickly to people. True to her breed, she does want something to do. She would be a great go-to-work dog because she gets along with everyone. Charm is well-mannered and extremely smart. Let's see if we can help find Charm a new home. We want to welcome the newest sponsor to the Canine Sports Connection, Cessless Creative Services, better known as the Logo Goddess. If you've had a chance to check out the Canine Sports Connection Facebook page, you've seen that big, beautiful banner logo there. That is a Cessless original. So whether you need company logos, you've got a bowling league that needs a logo, whether your church is having a picnic, a family reunion t-shirt, dog sports, cat sports, horse sports, hamster sports, it doesn't matter. Cessless Creative Services can make you any graphic logo that you need. Be sure to check her out at cessless.com. Check them out on Facebook at Cessless and tell them the Canine Sports Connection sent you. Hi, folks. We are back. This is Steve with the Canine Sports Connection, where sports have gone to the dogs, brought to you by Varsity Pets. So a lot of us get started in dog sports for various reasons. You know, some people, it's about the bond, and a lot of it's the same. But, you know, it's about the bond with the dog, having fun, finding something that your dog likes to do, and going out, sharing that sport with like-minded people. That's kind of how our guest tonight, Brianna, got started, you know, was working for somebody, introduced her to dog sports. She had a dog that all of a sudden started showing this skill set, and she's like, wow, what all can I do with him? So let's back up. So how old was Knox when you got him, Brianna?
He was 8 weeks when I brought him home.
Oh, so you got him as a puppy puppy.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah, he's been with me
What was the first thing, you know, did you do, and I know you were working, you know, with Cindy at Georgia Gym Dog, or Georgia Dog Gym. I always say it backwards because I'm in Athens. But, you know, what was the first thing you started doing there? Did you just do some basic obedience with him?
We did. Cindy, since a lot of the puppies stayed around the area, we did a puppy class with all of the litter pups, and we started on just basic obedience, and then we did some foundation work for agility, and they were going through tunnels and doing the wobble board to get ready for the teeter, and they worked on touching, and all of your basic foundation work for agility, and we started with some disc and just did a lot of foundation work to get them ready, because, I mean, they were still so young.
So you were, at first, you were interested in what, agility first?
Yes. Yeah, we started training at agility when he was about 10 weeks old. And then, I mean, we still train for agility because there's just so much to learn, and he's so fast.
So have you been competing agility, or is it just something you just kind of play with?
We compete. We don't compete as often as I would like. It's expensive one, but I mean, I still have so much to learn about him because he is so fast. And by the time I tell him something, he's already halfway through with the course, and it's just a big train wreck. And so we still need a lot of training that we need to get through in order to really compete every weekend, like most agility people do.
Well, and the training's the fun part. So then you were saying that, you know, you got introduced to the sport of dock diving, and since that's what we're going to kind of talk about here in the next segment, you know, did you think he would do it, or were you just doing it for the fun of it?
At first it was just for fun because, I mean, he didn't show any signs that he was really enjoying the water. He would freak out when water got splashed on him, and then I just kind of – I did it the long way, and I threw him in off the stairs, because I was getting really impatient. And then from then on, he was just constantly in the water every day. He wanted to be in the pool. Then he went off the dock the second time we were at the pool. And so it was just, I knew that he liked it. He just needed that little extra encouragement.
Well, and I'm glad you said that, because, you know, that was a mentality that a lot of people have had, you know, oh, just throw the dog in and they'll do good. And, you know, there are a few dogs that might, but, you know, like you said, it should always be fun. You know, I always tell people when I've done training at a pool, you know, get in the water with them. You know, I've picked dogs up off the ramp or the steps and carried them out into the middle of the pool, grabbed them by their collar, and walked them around the pool till they got comfortable swimming and I could let them go and make it fun. The more fun I am in the water, the more my dogs want to be in there, and the only way they can get in is to jump off the ramp or come down the ramp, and then once they're doing that a lot, then we go to the dock. And you know, so I'm sure you're not advocating throwing a dog in. It was one of those, I guess
no,
you'd say, learning curves.
That's not the way to do it. Not the way. But, I mean, it did work for him, but that is not what I would recommend doing at all.
All right, so once he started jumping, how old was he when this happened?
Let's see, he was probably about 4 months old when we first introduced him to the water. And then it was about 2 months later when we did the Canine Ranch event. We did the spring dive in. And that's when he popped off a 27.8 and just blew everybody's mind.
Well, I remember, I think I was announcing that event, and we were like, here comes Knox. What just happened, you know? I think you were even as much shock as everybody else was.
Yeah, I mean, it was incredible. I mean, I never knew he could jump that far. I mean, I knew he could jump between 20 and 25 in that range, and then jumping almost 28 feet, and he's not even a year old yet. It was just incredible.
Well, and he's definitely stayed up there in that level. So once you did that, did you go, okay, let's look into this dock jumping thing. Maybe we'll do some agility, but let's kind of focus here.
Yeah, I went home after the weekend. I went home and I bought a membership to Dock Dog, and I looked up everything, and that's when I saw the Stone Mountain event, and I had to go, and we had signed up for every single wave that they offered for Big Air, and Knox ended up winning every single wave of Big Air for his category. He's amazing.
He is an amazing pup. So we were talking about this, and you're kind of lucky, you know, because some people like me, I have to do a lot of on-dock training. With Willow and with my dogs, it's different. Rain has amazing obedience on the dock, but she's so much faster than Willow that I personally have to really work on timing with her. Where with Willow, you know, my lab, she's a little slower, but she won't sit for stay till the cows come home. She just won't do it. So I have to really work with her. You're kind of lucky because you said you don't actually have to practice a lot with Knox.
No. The only thing we really work on is the staying on the end of the dock because he hates to stay. It doesn't matter if it's at the agility start line. It doesn't matter if it's in a class and he needs to stay while I talk. Or, I mean, he hates to stay. He has to be constantly moving. And that's our biggest issue. And he'll be fine. We'll practice and he'll stay the entire time I need him to. But if we get on that dock, it's completely out of his mind that he does not know what state means.
Well, and I'm the same way. I can put Willow in a stay in the yard and walk all the way around the house. She won't move. You're on a dock, her brain falls out of her ear and she doesn't know how to stay.
Yes.
So it's the curse of getting them too amped up. So other than that, I mean, as far as practice, is there anything special that you do conditioning to keep him in, you know, top shape? I mean, because you are basically competing on a world level now.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we do the various sports. I mean, we train every day, whether it's frisbee or agility, and then we do a bunch of foundation work, and they do we do some stretches, and they do some body turns, and I mean, we really don't do any conditioning like we should, but I mean, being a full-time college student, working and training with him is enough on my plate. But I mean, he gets enough of exercise to keep up his muscle tone and his strength. And
well, obviously, as we're going to talk about in our next segment, you know, with what happened at Purina Incredible Dog Challenge. One of the things with him, I mean, I'll just say this: could you imagine what he could do if you put him on like a serious conditioning program?
Oh, they would have to buy a new pool. I'm pretty sure they would have to buy a longer pool. Because, I mean, we hardly do any conditioning, and he's jumping around 30 feet.
Yeah, definitely you want to. I just, you know, there's so many people out there that have dogs that have the drive and not his ability that, trust me, there's a lot of folks in duck dogs and you know, UAD and Purina and all of them that are like, oh, give me that dog for 6 months and I'll set some new world records.
Yeah.
But
I mean, he's good the way he is. I mean, we could use extra conditioning, but.
Well, like you said, you're a college student and you're having fun with it. So, you know, that's a good thing. All right. So what we're going to do here, Bree, we're going to take another break. We're going to talk about our canine hero that we had. When we come back, we're going to find out all about Purina Incredible Dog Challenge. Folks, those of y'all that have watched it on TV, we got one of them right here with us that's going to tell us all the good, juicy inside stuff. So we'll be back with her here in just a second, find out about Knox and the Purina Incredible Dog Challenge. But right now, we're going to talk about our canine hero. Our canine hero is a beautiful German Shepherd named Mick out of the Portland Police Department. The Portland police canine was shot to death and his officer was injured after chasing a burglary suspect that was accused of breaking into a police uniform supply shop. The police identified the officer, Jeff Dorn, a 16-year vet, and his canine officer, Mick. Unfortunately, Mick did lose his life. Officer Dorn says that Mick saved his. That is a sign of a dedicated and hardworking canine officer. Officer Canine Mick, it is end of service, and you are our canine hero.
Hi, I'm Courtney, proud teammate of Kane, a Great Dane who loves the sport of dock diving. Now, Danes are known to have a short average lifespan of only about 7 years, and like other large and active breeds, are prone to joint trouble. Well, Kane is nearly 8 years old, and despite his age, size, and rigorous workouts, remains joint problem-free. Without the distraction of joint pain, Kane continues to excel in his sport. In fact, he recently set a new Big Air personal best of 20 feet 6 inches and is inching closer to the 8-foot mark in extreme vertical. I trust Kane's joint comfort to the folks at InClover. InClover is based out of Colorado and makes supplements for dogs, cats, and horses. About 4 years ago, my veterinarian recommended their joint supplement, Connectin, and Kane has been using it ever since. Connectin was developed by InClover owner and biochemist Rebecca Rose. Connectin is the only complete patented formula containing all three joint building blocks the healthy body normally produces, plus 9 natural herbs which provide an optimal delivery system to support joint health and overall comfort fast. Connectin was proven in university studies using state-of-the-art force plate analysis to show better mobility in just 15 days, and it's 100% satisfaction guaranteed. To find a retailer near you or to learn about InClover's full line of products for joint, dental, skin, and digestive health, visit InClover.com.
All right, so we are back here on the show. We are talking with Brianna Minshew. She is the handler for Knox. Knox is the 2014 Purina Incredible Dog Challenge Eastern Regional Champion. All right, so we're going to kind of work backwards a little bit. By winning the championship here, what does that mean? You guys are going to the World Championship, right?
Yes, we go to Gray Summit in September. I think it's September 26th and 27th for the Nationals.
So, and that's the best. That's the best of the best. But if I'm right, a lot of those people that make it there all compete at the different regionals. So you're going to see most of the same dogs there.
Yeah, they have one. They have some. I mean, of course, maybe first and second from the Eastern Regionals, first and second from the Western Regionals, and then they have the last chance qualifier that they hold at the finals. So you can go Friday and try and qualify to compete on Saturday.
So going into it, you know, you think that Knox has a good chance, or is there just, you know, some sleepers out there that you're still playing catch up to?
Well, I mean, he'll go up against Phoebe and Liz, and then I'm pretty sure Baxter will be there. And, you know, Baxter and Phoebe are very far jumpers, and Phoebe holds the record at 32 feet, 3 inches or something. And, I mean, if we win, it's going to be great. But I just want him to do the best that he can do and just have fun, and which we always have fun. So.
Well, and that's one thing I can say. You get up there and you get up there and you're just having a good time the whole time. So what is the process for your Purina Incredible Dog Challenge? Now, I know some of the people have to be invited, but they do have the last chance qualifier, which we'll talk about in a second. So how did you get invited to the regionals in Atlanta this year?
We did not get invited. I got up at 3 o'clock in the morning and went and stood in line for 2 hours to get a number to do the qualifier. And because they hand out 20 numbers, and if you get a number, you get to jump, and then they pick the top 10, and then you get a third jump, and then they pick top 3, and those go in the finals on Saturday. And so Knox ended up qualifying first with a 29-11 jump, so he got to go back on Saturday. Yeah, we were not invited this year.
So the people that were invited, how did they get invited?
Usually it's with from what I understand, it's with Ultimate Air Dog, and they'll send in a list of names of people that they feel that can do it and that have jumped far in the past. And Knox got invited last year.
Okay, I knew you had an invite.
Yeah, we did last year. We did an event in Jacksonville, and Milt and Kathy had sent in our name to Purina, and they sent us an email, and we got invited. But I think it's just different competitions that you can do. They'll send your name in and give them a list, and they look at your stats and then go from there, and they pick.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about Purina Incredible Dog Challenge. In my opinion, overall dog sport, biggest stage of the year. You know, it's the one that's all over TV. It's the one that has introduced more people to dog sports because, you know, 1 minute you're watching dogs jump off of a dock 30 feet, the next minute you're watching dogs jump off the back of somebody's head, and 5 minutes later it's Jack Russell Terrier racing. So for a spectator, mm-hmm. It's just awesome. What's it like being at that event? Is it just, do you get a chance to really see everything, or are you just so busy with what you're doing that you kind of, you know, have blinders on?
I mean, it's pretty spread out. Like, you can take the time and watch the other performers and competitors, and then you can also take time to just relax. They're not, like, in a big rush. They have everything mapped out and different times for different things, and they're pretty much on schedule all the time. So I got to watch the Frisbee, and then I watched Fetch It and Agility, and then I went and did the Dock, and then I went back and watched the Weave Pole Challenge and then the Jack Russell Hurdle Racing. So it all, I mean, you get a chance to watch everything and spend time with friends, and then if your family comes, you're not just rushing to get everything done.
Is it one of the largest crowds you've ever jumped in front of?
Oh, it's unbelievable. I mean, there's a lot of people that go that have never seen anything like this, so when they see you out, they come and ask you questions, and then they've never seen anything like it, and they're just amazed and awe, and it's a lot of fun, and they treat their competitors really nice.
You know, I've heard people say that. What do you mean by that?
Well, they cater food, and the food is amazing. I mean, they give you a little gift bag when you compete, and if you qualify or if you got invited, you get a gift bag. You get the cool T-shirts. The food, again, the food is amazing. Drinks, I mean, anything that you can think of and that you need, they'll find a way to get it for you.
Yeah, I've just heard some other people that went for the first time. I think they got to jump, but, you know, they didn't qualify, but they were just saying that. And I was like, well, you know, how different is it? But so run us through your Purina Incredible Dog Challenge. So you kind of started at the bottom. You had to get in line. Only 20 dogs got tickets. You got a ticket. What time did you have to get there in the morning to stand in line?
Well, they hand out tickets at 8, and it was in Atlanta, and I was, you know, it was going to be an hour and a half drive. And I wanted to get there early enough to make sure I got a number. So I got there at 4:30 in the morning. And I stood in line. I was the fourth person in line.
You were
I waited
the fourth
until
person
8 o'clock to get a number. Yes. There were people
who
there before me.
Who was there before you?
Chelsea Conklin was in there. She was the first person in line with Ryder. And, I mean, there's a couple other people that I haven't really met before, but, I mean, I got to know them. And I mean, that's the fun thing. You get in line at 4 o'clock in the morning and you make new friends waiting to get a ticket.
Oh, and I've always said if rain ever got up to the 25, 30-foot mark, you know, I'd be there the night before with one of those little folding reclining chairs, and I'd just be the first person in line and sleep there that night.
Yeah, which, I mean, it was nice weather. It wasn't cold. It didn't rain on us while we were waiting, and it was supposed to rain all day, and it sprinkled for like 10 minutes. I mean, you get your number, and they go and you register at 9:30, and you sign your waiver, and then they give you the list and the order, and then you go and set up, and you get a practice jump, and then you start the competition.
Now, their pool setup is a little different from, you know, you and I have both jumped Dock Dogs, and I've jumped UAD once or twice. I know you've jumped them quite a bit, but their pool and dock are set up different. How long is their dock the same length?
I believe so. I haven't really asked or paid attention. I believe it's about 30, 35, maybe 40 feet. The only thing
I
don't like, it does not have the handrail. And I'm definitely afraid I'm going to fall off.
That's where I was headed with that. Because of the way they do the TV and the people watching, you're just up there. There's no rails. So,
uh-huh.
And then on one side of the pool is that big screen. So, you know, I just wonder if to the dogs it's different.
It doesn't seem to affect Knox. He did have a little issue because they have on one side of the pool, they have the stands, and people can sit there right at the pool. And when he would jump, he would look over at them because they would be screaming, and that would kind of shorten his jump. Since we've done this multiple times, he's gotten used to it and doesn't faze him anymore. But our first time, he was just freaked out by the crowd right at the pool.
Yeah. So, and now how does Purina Incredible Dog Challenge, how do they judge? Do they judge to the nose or the tail?
They judge to the furthest thing that hits the water. It could be the nose. They said it could be a tongue, an ear, a foot. If they turn around backwards, it would be the tip of the tail. So just the furthest
okay.
thing that hits the water.
You know, which is different from both UAD and Dock Dogs because they both jump to the end of the dog. So, you know, and for folks, if you don't know what that means, the dog is jumping the same distance, but in one sport, they might say the dog jumped 27 feet, but in the same pool, the other one that judges to the nose is going to be 27 feet, plus the length of the dog, so you might get a 30, 31-foot jump. It doesn't necessarily mean that, oh, all of these dogs are jumping farther or less for whichever sport. It's just how they measure. Nothing, mm-hmm. whatever way you prefer, you know, as long as it's consistent, it all works. So, but, you know, I have heard people that are like, you know, well, you know, that's not, you can't compare. It's, you're not comparing. It's just all about having fun with the dogs. So
yeah,
you get to go to the,
about.
You get to go to the qualifier. How did you do at that? You said you finished first?
Yes. His first two jumps were really bad because my throws were really bad. And then he got a third jump, and that third jump, he jumped 29 feet, 11 inches, and that was the top spot. So, I mean, he would have had probably better throws, I mean, better jumps if I had better throws.
Now, well, let's talk about that. What's the importance of that you're saying of the throw? As a handler, why is that so important?
If you don't throw it far enough and out in front of your dog, they're turned looking back for that toy, and then that just shortens their jump. They're turned so they don't get the full length of their body stretched out, and you just want to make sure it's high and out in front of them so they're stretched out and really stretching to get that furthest distance they can get.
And for those of y'all that haven't, that are listening to this show, or you may listen to it 6 months or a year from now, when in the sport of dock jumping, it's what's called the chase method, where you sit the dog back, the handler goes to the very end dock closest to the pool, they release the dog, and as Brianna's saying, you want to throw the toy high enough and far enough that the dog has to jump up, you know, not too high up, at that nice angle, but that they want to jump up, and they're chasing the toy, trying to catch it in their mouth, and that makes them really push through and drive, and that's usually... You know, if you watch, you're going to see Knox and Baxter and Phoebe and all the big jumpers. They're out there trying to catch that toy just as far as they can. And, yeah, if you throw it a little left, a little right, or too high, they're still going to try to catch it, and they're just not going to jump as far. So it is a huge handler-dog connection, you know, as far as getting them, you know, getting the timing right, you know, these kind of things. So there is, you know, it's not just how athletic is your dog. There's training and timing involved. So you finished first in the qualifier, and you said then they took the top 10 and you guys jumped again, right?
No, they take the top 10, and then you get another jump, and they take top 5, and then they take top 3. And our top 3 jump was the 29-11. So they break it down, and they take top 10. That way, it's kind of fair to everybody that has a big jumping dog that they get to go, and they compete for that top 5. And then those 5 compete for the top 3. And then those top 3 get a chance to go into the final the next day to compete for the Eastern Regional Championship title.
All right. Now, once you got to that level, you were competing against the dogs that had actually been invited from other events, correct?
Yes. I know Cindy and Rook they had gotten invited, so Knox was competing against his litter mate. Which was, it was fun, but then it was like, do you want to cheer for them? Do you want to do well yourself? And so it just kind of, you have to balance that out and cheer for everybody and then really cheer for yourself and make sure you do good for yourself.
Well, you know, and that's the thing. I mean, that's one of the things I love about DISC, I've loved about Doc Dogs, is, you know, I've never been like, oh, man, I want this dog to do bad. You know, if anything, I'm like, wow, I want to get my dog good enough that we can compete with Knox. You know, I would love it to mm-hmm. be able to go to a competition and know that me and Rain could give you and Knox a run for your money. I don't want you to do bad. If I beat you, I mean, this is me personally speaking as a competitor in anything. If I beat you, I want Knox to get his personal best, and then I can say, wow, look at what I did. You know, this is a dog that's had all these great accomplishments, and now we've achieved the same level as they are, you know. So, you know, to me, that's the whole, if you want to talk about the competition side, you know, there's nothing wrong with cheering on other folks. I don't want to go win a competition because everybody else had crappy days. I'm going to say, hey, you know what, we came out the best today, and we could all go do it tomorrow, and we might come in last, you know. So
yeah,
I don't think there's anything.
Yeah, I use other competitors' personal best as what I want to accomplish. Like, I want to eventually – have the world record for the Purina diving dog. I want to eventually get to at least where Phoebe has jumped, and preferably further than she has jumped. But that's just a goal that I have. I mean, if they have a long jump, I want to make that my goal.
There's nothing wrong with that. That just, and you know, we talked about it earlier, but you know, that's just where you got to say, okay, if I want that goal, am I doing enough with my dog? Training, conditioning, whatever sport it is. You know, I make a running joke. I want to beat Dean Wirth in Frisbee. He kills me in every sport. I come in second or third. If I'm third, he's second. He's just always beating me. It's not that I wish ill will on Dean. It's that I look up and respect the level that he competes with his dogs, and I want to get to that level. And I'll know that I'm at that level if I beat him one day. So Dean knows I'm coming for him. I have threatened to break fingers before, but that's a whole different story. Because if he can't throw, hey, you know. No, that's one of my good friends. He knows I'm just kidding.
Feet if you broke fingers.
You want to know the truth? He probably could. He could probably stick it in his butt crack and outthrow me. That's what I hate about it.
Oh,
anyway,
God.
But there's nothing wrong in the world of dog sports. This is Steve Mai speaking, that it cracks me up the whole, oh, it's just all about having fun. If dog sports are just about having fun, then the lake I went to today is free. It's got this nice raised bank. Meet me over there tomorrow. We'll all bring a case of beer and cook out, and we'll just have a blast with our dogs. No ribbons, no judges, and we can jump the dogs as much as we want and not spend a penny if it's just about having fun. But you can have fun and it be a competition, which is what gets me that people, oh, no, it's not a competition. It's just about having fun. No, I'm paying you money, you know, whatever sport, Skyhounds, Dock Dogs, UAD, Purina, you know, Barn Hunt Association, whoever, I'm paying you money to judge time, keep score, keep points of how good me and my dog are, not as much to beat other people, but to constantly improve. That makes it a competition. Should it be fun? Absolutely. Should it be fair? Absolutely. You know, but if I'm paying money to somebody, it's not just about having fun. Sorry, so I'll get off my soapbox. Mm-hmm. It always cracks me up.
I mean, the ribbons and the trophies are all nice to look at, but
you know, they don't pay the bills.
I mean,
at least not for
me,
they don't.
I like to have fun, but then I like to also do my best and try and beat out other people so I can achieve my best.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's a standard. So, all right, so what we're going to do here, if there's anybody out there that wants to call in, ask Brianna or me a question. The call-in number is 213-943-3434. That's 213. Excuse me, I'm giving you guys the wrong number. 347-850-1554. I'm giving you a number to call, and then you're going to end up talking to customer service. 347-850-1554. That's 347-850-1554. If you want to call in, talk to me or Brianna. So before we take our next break, Brianna, so you qualified up. You made it to the Eastern Championship Finals.
Mm-hmm.
How many jumps do you get?
For the Eastern Regionals or the finals in September?
No, the Eastern Regionals, the one you just competed at. Once you make it to the finals on Saturday, how many jumps does each dog get?
You get two jumps, and then they take the top 10.
Is it? Now, are your jumps back-to-back, or do you have to wait in between?
No, you wait in between.
Okay. So
and then
how many dogs make the finals? How many were in the finals before they took the top 10?
I believe there were. I'm not exactly sure of the exact number. And then they take top 10, and those top 10 get a third jump. And then they take top 3 after the third jump.
And then
do you get another jump?
Okay, you basically get three.
That's it.
So the 15 or so that jumped, where did you guys finish after the first jump?
First.
Knox
was in first all day because he was the only one up until the last set of jumps that was in the 30 feet range.
Okay. So was there somebody, you know, close competition on when you got down to the final three, or did he pretty much have it locked up?
The last jump, he jumped 30 feet 7 inches, and then I think second place jumped 30 feet 2 inches, and then the third place jumped 30 feet. So, I mean, we were all right there in the 30-foot mark. So we were all pretty close.
I'm sure that makes for an exciting show.
Yes. Because, I mean, we jumped first, so everybody after us, I was, like, sitting on pins and needles, waiting to hear their jump to see if we were still in first or if somebody had beaten us. And it was just, I don't like going first. I would rather go last. But that's just
me. Well, the only big air finals that Willow ever won was in a junior division, and we barely made it, so we jumped first, and our first jump was her best jump ever. It was like 16 feet something, and then we had to sit there and watch everybody get closer and closer. We jump a second time. She only jumps like 14 feet. Then we have to sit there and watch everybody jump again. And it's nerve-wracking. You're like, you know, is it going to hang? Oh, wow, that's a huge jump, and you're just waiting on the announcer to say the score. You know, that's when it does get exciting. You're just like, you know, did we give it everything we had, you know? Was it good enough? All right, so we're going to take a quick break.
Yeah, I ended up putting Ross in the crate.
Oh, did you?
Oh, he could feel my nervousness, and it was just bad. So he was in the crate because I was just so nervous.
But he hung on. You won the Eastern Regional Championship. Now you're going to World. All right, so we're going to take one more quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk with her a little bit more about what's next, what's coming up, what plans she's got between now and September. If you want to call in and talk to her, the number's 347-850-1554. Folks, you guys know what time it is. This is where you get to brag on dogs. It is time for Wagon Rights. It is time for those wagon rights. Our first one, April Pelletier. And Serafina said it wasn't really a wagon ride, but she did want to just talk about something she got to do. They attended the 2014 Boston Marathon the other day, as they do every year. But this year, she said it was truly amazing. Said they got to see a whole lot of really cool stuff, and it was just very uplifting and moving to be there. Well, in our book, that counts as a wagon ride. Christy of Team Southern Charm said they're very proud of their pups, Jackson Rain, who were the dog show at the Haven Hills Therapeutic Horse Ranch. They had the Dog and Pony Show fundraiser this past weekend. Jax, with his big, lovable lughead self, just kind of served as the meet-and-greet pup for everybody to rub on. And Rain, who is becoming quite the disc dog, had a lot of fun. Any of the kids that wanted to throw a disc, she was catching it for them, just having a good time. It looked like it was a really fun event. The kids got to ride some horses, play with some dogs, just have a really good time. And Christy's glad to have had Jackson Rain out there. So those are what we've got for our wagon rides for this week. I know there'll be more coming up here soon. Make sure you get them into us. Tell us your wagon rides.
Are you looking for a safe, reliable pet transport company? Then Wanna-Go Pet Transport is the answer. They are based in Virginia and are dedicated to the safe, clean, reliable, and caring ground transportation for all your household pets. They believe ground transportation is a safer and more stable option for your pet, and they will transport any breed, including those not able to fly. Wanna-Go is a USDA licensed and insured pet transportation company that follows strict guidelines for comfort, safety, and health. Wanna-Go offers the following nationwide services. Moving? There's so much to do, and moving can be very stressful on your pet. Wanna-Go lets you get settled into your new home, and they will bring your pets to you. They also offer a great military discount. Wanna-Go offers discounts for rescue transports and works with many large and small rescues to meet your unique needs. Wanna-Go offers delivery of newly adopted or purchased pets all across the country. If you're going on a long vacation in the U.S. or going to be splitting time between homes and want your pet there but don't want to risk flying them, Wanna-Go can get them there safely and bring them home when you return. And if you have a unique situation, no problem. Call Jeff at 757-570-5870 and he will help you out. And be sure to check them out on Facebook and on their website at wannagopettransport.com. Tell them Canine Sports Connection sent you.
All right, so you always want to make sure that you're sending us your wagon rights. Let us know what your dog's doing, whether it's in sports training or if you just had fun with them one day. This is your chance to brag on your dogs. Now, let me tell you guys about something that's coming up soon. We are in the process of getting this done. We are getting a new sticker, kind of a window decal, tote bag, laptop, whatever. It's just a regular vinyl sticker that's going to have a little quote about my dog has wagon rights and the show. And what we're going to do, once we get these made, if you make wagon rights and you send us a self-addressed stamped envelope, we'll send you a sticker. And we're going to see where all we can see wagon rights stickers at. So we're in the process of getting that done. Hopefully it'll be done in the next few weeks. And you guys can start bragging on your dog wherever you want, telling us about those wagon rights. Speaking of wagon rights, obviously, Brianna, you were very proud of your performance and Knox's performance winning the Eastern Regional Dock Jumping Championship at Purina Incredible Dog Challenge. So what's coming up next for you? What do y'all have on your calendar?
Right now I have one event in May. It's an agility competition that I'm doing with Roy. Knox, I don't have him doing anything just yet because he has had an issue. So once that gets resolved, we will have more stuff lined up for the both of them. But we do have a USDAA trial the beginning of May for Roy.
So are you going to try to – and we're actually going to talk a little bit about Knox's issue in a minute because it's something that I want to speak about, my own personal opinion. So do you have some more dog diving you're going to be doing with him before you end up going to Worlds?
I don't have anything lined up. I've really thought about doing the Stone Mountain event again. We didn't go last year, so I was really upset about that. But if I get the chance to go again this year, we will go. That's the only dock diving event that I have considered doing. I like to keep it fun, so I don't do a lot of dock diving. I'm scared of him getting bored of it, and I don't want to do it so much to where he does get bored of it and he doesn't jump far and he just kind of plops off the dock. And I want to keep it fun for him.
Well, definitely. Well, you know, in the middle of July, you better bring Roy and Pistol and come do Frisbee with us.
We'll see. We'll see what I got going on.
if you're like me, you're always busy, but you never seem like you're doing anything. The Disc Dogathon's a great place to introduce them to the different Frisbee sports. All right, so you're gonna keep in touch with us now, and I do want to talk about this. So what happened at some point, either at Purina or right after Purina, Knox broke a canine tooth?
Yes, he has broken off about close to 2/3 of his top canine. Broken it halfway, and then it was broken up into his root, so part of his nerve was showing, and I'm pretty sure he did it while he was crated, and he was very angry that I had his brother on the block, and he was trying to get out of his crate, acting like a fool, and it just broke and finally gave in to his crazy mouth.
Well, all right, and now I'm going to speak because I'm not going to ask Brianna to do this. Folks, if you got dogs, it can be very expensive, and there are a lot of people that enjoy doing what we're doing, and it's not cheap, and we do as much as we can, and we take good care of our dogs, but when unexpected things happen, it costs money. Doc Dogs has a great charity called Bark that they do the basic animal assistance rescue. I'm probably saying that wrong, that they do for people in the Doc Dogs community, that if there's a problem, you can apply. They'll help you out with money. So there's a whole company that knows that this happens. So, you know, in my opinion, in the world of crowdfunding and sourcing and all of that, there's nothing wrong with that. Either you want to help people or you don't. That's the way I look at it. So, you know, Brianna posted on her Facebook page that she had started this little thing where you could help pay for, you know, getting his canine tooth fixed, which is not cheap. And trust me, as a college student working part-time, I know what it's like, that you don't have savings saved up for stuff like that. To the people that decided to post and say she shouldn't have the dog if she couldn't afford the dog, get real, folks. I mean, you know, that's just insultive. I was offended when I heard that. It's just not the way you do stuff. guess what? If I don't agree with it, I'm just not going to do anything about it. You know, I'm not going to say anything. I spoke my mind, and one of them was one of my best, closest friends. But that's like the people that are going to a world championship in Doc Dogs. They go to the Eastern Regional. They pay the money to go. They know that the purpose, the end result of the regionals is to be in the top four and get a world championship invite. But as soon as they get the invite, they start asking people to help pay for them to go to Worlds. If I can't afford to go to Worlds, I'm not going to accept the invite, period. That's just my opinion. You know, that's different than a dog being hurt. A perfect example, I know I can't afford to go to Worlds this year, so I'm not even going to the regionals to compete because, you know, why would I go to a regionals to try to qualify for Worlds just to have to turn down an invite? There's other people that want to go that deserve it. So it's my personal choice, but I just saw so many people, help me pay to go to Worlds. We need your help to go to Worlds. Well, you shouldn't have accepted the invite if you couldn't pay to go to the competition. That's different. Your dog being hurt, if I see, hey, my dog got hurt, my dog broke a tooth, broke a foot, this is unexpected, I don't mind helping those people because that's medical. It's not, you know, oh, I want to go compete more, but I can't afford it. Well, if you can't afford it, don't go. So that's me getting on my soapbox again because I was quite offended when I saw that Brianna posted that people were bad-mouthing and saying stuff to her. You know, so if you don't have nothing nice to say, don't say nothing at all. If you don't agree with it, that's fine. You have that right, but you don't need to blast somebody that's trying to help their dog get better. And if you continue to do it, we will leave poop bags in your yard full. So I'm just telling you. All right,
yes,
Brianna. So what's his current status now? Has he gotten fixed? Is he waiting, or what's going on?
He goes on May 20th in Atlanta to see Dr. Beckman to get his root canal, and then from then we schedule to go get the titanium cap put on. So he'll have a pretty cool tooth.
Are you going to get, like, I've seen somebody that's dog had one and it had a little Georgia G on it. You going to get something put on it?
I really wanted to see about getting a diamond K put in it. Knock, but
there you go.
I mean, that's a little more expensive, but
well, we'll just have to see. But we're glad he's getting one. Then every time he jumps and smiles, you know, there'll be that picture, you know, where people can just see. So that will be awesome. All right, well, Brianna,
yeah,
thanks so much.
He's getting the Elvis Presley lip, so he'll show it off.
Oh, he is, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Well, cool. Well, thanks so much for being on the show. We really, really appreciate it. We wish you and Knox the best of luck. I hope to see you at some events at some point this year because, you know, I'd like to be able to see Knox and see how he's doing. You know,
I know, I've been trying to MIA.
Well, when you win like that, you only have to go to the big events.
Please.
So.
No, I mean, if we had more money, if I had a job, we'd be at every single one every weekend.
Oh, trust me, I'm the same way. I mean, it's just gotten to where doing more than one sport, it's just expensive. So, all right, well, Brianna, we appreciate it. We're glad, and something we didn't even mention, you're part of one of the biggest competition dog teams out there. You're part of Varsity Pets, aren't you?
I am. Drool fuel, baby.
Telling you, people don't realize. I'm telling you, powered by Drool Fuel. We don't just say it. It's backed up. I mean, we landed 5 world championships, like 3 new world records, and 8 different dogs that were in the finals at the Doc Dog World Championships. And now we've got the Purina Incredible Dog Challenge, you know, contender here. So there's something to it, folks. I mean, you know, we're not just telling you this, you know, it's not hollow promises. There's something to this. All right, Brianna, thanks so much for being on the show. We look forward to seeing you again soon. And keep us updated on how he's doing.
I sure will.
Guys, that was Brianna Minshew and Knox and Roy and Pistol. We're not going to leave out the other two. I'm telling you, it is a lot of fun. It's fun watching them jump, I'm telling you. You guys got to go out and see them. So definitely, you know, go check them out. I meant to ask her, I think her team name is like Team Double Take or Team Double Trouble, one of the two. If she's still listening, if she'll type it in the chat room, I'll tell you guys for sure. But you can definitely check her out. You know, we got us a Georgia dog from right here from over in Rome that's going to be representing us in the Purina Incredible Dog Challenge. All right, folks, we're going to go find out what's going on our Pet Pages Atlanta event calendar. I'll be right back with y'all here in just a second.
Atlanta's premier pet services directory, Pet Pages Atlanta, delivers an accomplished mix of advertising, pet-centric articles, and pertinent pet resources twice a year to Metro Atlanta's vast pet community. Pet Pages Atlanta puts this information directly into the hands of those who need it in a highly distributed publication, online digital media, and a convenient iPhone and iPad app. Pet Pages Atlanta provides meaningful and timely information to prospective adoptive pet parents, veteran pet families, and those who are in the for-profit and nonprofit business of supporting a better quality of life for Atlanta's pets. Pet Pages Atlanta is the go-to resource for pet owners who want to be in the know about local products, service providers, and events that benefit their pets and community. Join Pet Pages Atlanta today and pick up your free copy at a business near you, or access our online interactive digital edition at www.petpagesatlanta.com. For mobile users, be sure to download our iPhone and iPad app on iTunes. And don't forget to follow us on Facebook for all the latest happenings and contests at www.facebook.com/PetPagesAtlanta.
All right, here's what we have on our Pet Pages Atlanta event calendar, starting on the 24th, there is the Donovan's Irish Pub fundraiser. The Donovan's Irish Cobbler, which is in Woodstock, Georgia, is doing a GPA Canine Memorial fundraiser. 10% of your meal donated to GPA from GPA referrals who eat there that day and mention GPA. On April 26th, that is this coming up Saturday, there's the Bark for Life, the American Cancer Society. This one is in Jasper, Georgia, from 9 to 1. It is the first annual Bark for Life of Pickens County. They have all kinds of fun stuff going on. Make sure you go check it out. There'll be a one-mile doggy walk, a doggy contest, raffles, live music, food and games for the whole family, vaccinations and microchipping, vendors, all kinds of good stuff. Make sure you go check them out in Jasper County. Also on that day, the Ahisma House 10th Anniversary Gala will be taking place. On the next day, on Sunday, April 27th, Alpharetta Art Street Fest is happening. This is the Adopt a Greyhound Atlanta sponsoring this. That's going to be a lot of fun. Bark in the Park with the Atlanta Braves, the Golden Retriever Rescue. There's a grass strip near the parking that they're going to meet. There are tickets available. You can bring your dog to the Braves game. On April 28th, this is one of my favorite named events. It is the 2014 Spaghetti and No Meatballs event. This is for the Humane Society of Forsyth County. All right, going into next weekend, on April 30th, that's happening on Wednesday night, it is Sip for the Trip. It is a wine tasting event happening at the Marietta Wine Market. This is for positive supporters, so it's going to be a great event. And then going into the weekend, guys, it's time for you to get your dogs wet. On May 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, Dixie Dock Dogs proudly brings to you the 2014 Rucker Jump Into Summer event. I think this is the third or fourth year that they've had it. It's being held at Rucker's on 5456 Bethelview Road in Cumming, Georgia. If you're there on Friday, make sure you see me. Me and my team will be there jumping, having a good time. Make sure you go check it out. It'll be a whole lot of fun Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Now, on Saturday the 3rd, Star 94's Wolfstock is happening in Suwanee. There's going to be like 8,000 people there. There's going to be beer garden, dog agility, pet adoptions. UAD is going to be there having an event. I'm telling you, you need to check this out. And also, on the same day at Piedmont Park, it is the Atlanta Dog Jog. This is presented by the Vet Heart of Georgia. My very own Willow and Coach Dan of Varsity Pets won that event a couple years ago. We're going to have to go back and check it out. Also happening is the Spring Fling at the Canine Ranch. You can do lure coursing, dock diving, agility, everything. And that is all happening on Saturday, May 3rd. I'm telling you, there's all kinds of stuff for you to do with your dogs. Make sure you check out our Facebook page, our website, and check out Pet Pages Atlanta. All right, so that's what's going on. Guys, make sure you let me know about events in your area. You can always send me an email at caninesportsconnection@gmail.com. Tell me about what's going on. Hey, I'll put it on there whether it's in Atlanta or not. I don't care if it's in Seattle and Phoenix and New York. We'll put the event on there. You never know who might listen and might want to come check out your event. Guys, it was a blast hanging out with y'all tonight. You've got a big show. It's a fast show next week. It is Speed Retrieve with Tom Dropic. We're going to talk with him. I'm telling you, spread the word. This is the show where you can learn all the stuff about Speed Retrieve. So make sure you check us out next week. You know what I'm going to tell you, folks. Get out there and do something with your dogs. Attention owners of the big, athletic, high-energy dogs. If you're sick of all the daily walks and all the fetch games, and if you really hate throwing money away on easily destroyed toys, and if you are ready to finally start letting your dog exercise himself, then I am about to change your life. Hey folks, this is Steve from right here at the Canine Sports Connection, and I'm here to tell you about the Varsity Ball. This is the world's first 110% guaranteed indestructible dog toy. It has been tested on world-class canine athletes, military and police canine officers, and even full-grown lions and tigers. Thousands have been sold, and exactly zero, that's right, zero, have been busted. Listen, I was a little skeptical too until I got one for my dogs and I saw the Varsity Ball in action myself. Team Southern Charm has had it for over a year now and it is still going strong. This thing is beyond tough. It is completely unbreakable. And if your dog does manage to destroy one, the folks at Varsity Pets will replace it for free and they will refund 10% of your original purchase price. You have absolutely nothing to lose. See, the great thing is that the Varsity Ball was designed to provide your dog with an exhausting, full-body workout, all without any human interaction. That's right. You take the ball outside, you turn it over to your high-energy dog, and he works himself into an absolute frenzy, pushing it around, pulling it, dragging it, wrestling with it, hurting it. He does everything he can with it, except destroy it. It is just too big, too tough, and too bad. They can't figure it out, and it drives them crazy. But guys, don't even believe me. I want you to go to Facebook, to Varsity Pets. I want you to go to www.varsitypetsonline.com. See it for yourself. There are dozens of real-life customer videos of dogs playing with Varsity Balls. The videos don't lie. The dogs really do exercise themselves. And now, for a limited time only, you can get your Varsity Ball for $10 off. Just visit www.varsitypetsonline.com. Use the coupon code STEVE. That's the capital letters STEVE. I'm giving you 10 bucks. Save an automatic $10 discount. But hurry, supplies are limited. Get your Varsity Ball today. The Varsity Ball by Varsity Pets. Thousands sold, zero busted.
Thank you for listening in today, and be sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. This has been a Varsity Pets presentation of the Canine Sports Connection, where sports have gone to the dogs.